I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
And I'm here to tell you, you matter.
Yes.
You add value.
Yes.
You are valuable and you have a gift. God created every person with a gift inside of them. If you're in a room, talk to at least five people.
You can't talk to everybody.
How I got from the inner city of New Jersey all the way to Wall Street as an equity trader. Like,
anybody know Wall Street was made for white men. You're black, you're a woman.
But you pay a little bit extra to be in certain rooms or be in certain spaces. It's investing in yourself.
Your net worth is your net worth. I thought these things were cliches until you start getting into certain levels of business. You start realizing how true that is.
Because you never know who you can meet at in that space.
Has there been situations where you've gotten burnt though? Yeah. Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet, where we don't just talk about dollars and cents. We unlock the vault inside your mind, because real wealth starts from within. Today, we are joined by a woman who didn't just climb the corporate ladder, but she rebuilt it, then opened the gates for others to climb through. She is a Wall Street veteran, a global traveler who touched 44 countries, and a mastermind who's helped entrepreneurs and entertainers secure millions in funding and opportunity, from growing up in the inner cities of New Jersey to rubbing shoulders with Fortune 500 execs. She's proof that where you start doesn't determine where you finish. Your connections do. She is the founder and CEO of the Master Connector Agency, the architect behind rooms where the deals get done, and the author of the transformational book, The Master Connector, a blueprint for building life-changing relationships in business and beyond. Whether it's corporate boardrooms, creative circles, or community movements, this woman shows up, stands out, and brings people together with authenticity, grace, and strategic brilliance. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause. Open your mind. Grab your notebooks, because the vault is open. We have the queen of connections herself, Nicole Harmon Pointe-du-Jour.
All right. Woo. Crowd goes wild.
We in the building. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited about this interview because, for you know, a lot of times we hear, you know, that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that your with the other cliche, your net worth is your network, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I thought these things were cliches until you start getting into certain levels of business. You start realizing how true that is, right? How much experience you have, you know, how big your bank account is. None of that matters if you don't know the right people, the right connections. So, you are the queen of connections. So I'm ready to tackle that. But before we even get there. In your words, who is Nicole Harmon Pointe-du-Jour?
Well, one, I love how you say my last name, because everybody's like, "How do you say that?" So you got it exactly.
You know, I'm a Zoe, so you know.
Right, so you got it.
You already know. Yeah.
Who is Nicole Harmon Pointe-du-Jour? I want to say I'm a leader.
Yes.
I operate with integrity. I'm kind, and I'm a servant of the Lord. So yes. I always look to see how I can serve and help others.
Yes. Yes. So. I love it. So take me back, right? Because you know, I know that you've, you know, have negotiated millions of dollars of, you know, of deals, and you've helped a lot of brands, corporate executives, entertainers. How does a, you know, a girl from Newark, right, from New Jersey, go from cutting class, right, to cutting million-dollar checks on Wall Street?
Oh, I love how you frame that. So I think how I go from cutting class. So as Ash Cash mentioned, when I was in school in Jersey, I used to cut class all the time. I just thought school was boring because I could pass a test without studying. So I was like, oh, I don't need to be there. But I really did need to be in class, y'all. So stay in school, right? Don't cut class. Don't follow me.
You cut in class, oh, you're on the brink of, you know, you're a wild child, right?
Right, right.
And
that's,
so how do you go from that to Wall Street?
Yeah, so the transition for that was in college.
Yep.
So there was one of my friends, Keisha, every semester in college, then her name would be on the dean's list. And mm-hmm. it was like a plaque in the business school. I was a business major. And I said, how did you get your name in that plaque? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, you just got to be on the dean's list. I'm like, what is that? So I'm the first person in my family to go to college, mm-hmm. right? And so I never even heard of dean's list before. Yep. And so she said, oh, if you get A's and B's, you know, they'll put your name on the plaque. And I knew I was smart because, like I told you, I was cutting school but would pass the test. So I started sitting in front of the class, and I graduated at 3.8. And from there, the career service department lady, I forgot her name, but she said, you're on the dean's list every year. Like, you need an internship. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm working at Old Navy. I'm about to get a raise. I'm about to make $7.83. Like, I was so excited about this 50-cent raise. But she said, you need an internship. And I interned at Nationwide in the HR department. And I actually liked it. It was like a job. You dressed up every day and had a little cubicle. I was working with new hires at the time, meaning like putting together their pamphlets when they come in. And when I graduated college, because I had a 3.8, Nationwide wanted to hire me full time. But Wachovia Securities was merging with Wells Fargo and Prudential in New York. And the people from New York did not want to come to Virginia. That's where I went to school. I went to Virginia Union University. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to come there. But because I had the GPA, they interviewed me. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated college, both jobs offered me a salary that was I would never forget, it was $30,000. Mm-hmm. This is in 2004. Mm-hmm. And Wachovia was paying a signing bonus for $3,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm going to take this $3,000 and figure out what that is. Because mm-hmm. right, the title was a brokerage operations specialist. And I did not know what that was, Ash. When I got the job, I was in middle office. So I was supporting the equity traders, the bond traders, and the option traders. Mm-hmm. All while going to grad school at night. So that was my door into Wall Street, just having the GPA and interviewing for something that I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was smart, and I picked up and I would go around the floor and learn how bonds worked, how options worked, how different instruments on the trading floor worked. So that was my first experience into Wall Street.
Yeah, and that's like, I love that story, and I knew the story, but I wanted you to say it because I feel like a lot of people think that they have to have everything together, right? Like, they have to know the plan and have to figure mm-hmm. out, you know, which way to go. But sometimes it's, you know, I mean, it's allowing energy, right? And allowing God, allowing, you know, divine alignment to guide you, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but it also is important to note, though, that you have to take that first step, right? Like, you have to... Yeah. be at a space where you're willing to do work, right? So you were willing to go to school. You were willing to mm-hmm. apply. You know, you were willing to get on like these things that you did mm-hmm. is what led you to getting on Wall Street.
And
right?
take a step back. So again, I'm the first person in my family to go to college, yeah. right? And so my mom was like, you're going to school. I'm like, why do I have to go? So when I got there, I didn't even know what to major in.
Yeah.
And there was a speech and drama scholarship that mm-hmm. I got. And I was like, I did it for 1 year. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be on stage talking in front of people. So my mom was like, well, major in business. Everything's a business. Mm-hmm. So that's what changed my major. And I'm yeah. glad that I did. I tell students, if you don't know what to do, major in business, because yeah. every single thing you do is a business.
It is a business, right?
And that's what got me into Wall Street, because they were only taking business, economic, and finance majors.
Yeah.
And so I was a business major and had the GPA. So
yeah, and I love that. And then so let's fast forward, right, to you know, one of the philosophies you talk about in the book, and one of the philosophies you live on is around breaking bread, right? And that in order to sort of make certain things happen, it's important to break bread with people, right?
Yeah.
And so why in your estimation is breaking bread better than sending a business pitch? And if so, then why?
I think breaking bread is for sure better. When I got to Wall Street, everybody did coffee chats. Mm. And I didn't even know what that was. And I barely drank coffee, but I was drinking 2 cups a day because there's always a coffee chat in the afternoon, a coffee chat after work. So I do think that breaking bread is better because it pulls people's guard down when you break bread over food. So I always tell people to invite a person to lunch and understand what their business plan, what their model is, and then figure out how you can plug and play into what they're doing. Because a lot of times people lead with what can someone do for them versus what can you do for another person. Yeah. And I feel like when there's food involved, everybody loves food. I'm assuming. I know I do, right? Yeah, so I'm assuming everybody loves food. But it kind of breaks down the barrier where you're sharing a meal with someone and talking about your goals and your aspirations for the year. So.
And so how do you maneuver around, I guess, comfortability, right? Because I know for me, it took me a while. Like I've never been a shy guy. Like I've always been a, you know, extroverted. Like I'm not afraid to approach people. But you know, I did corporate America. My first year or two was really, really rough because I'm from the projects, and so we talk a certain way. Our confidence level comes from familiarity, right? So I'm familiar with the hood, and I'm familiar with you know the old ladies and the, like right. So now I go downtown and I'm dealing with clients that. You know, I can't really talk slang their experience is different than mine. Mm-hmm. Right. So how did you deal with that? Right. Like you're from the inner city as well. You go to Wall Street. First of all, foremost, you're black. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're a woman.
Yeah.
And then now you're on Wall Street with like anybody know Wall Street was made for white men.
Yes.
So you're not white. You're not a man. Like how do you maneuver?
Exactly. And I'm not even from money because a lot of them come from money. Yeah. It's like passed down generation to generation. And a lot of my colleagues went to Ivy League. And when I got into the Fortune 500 company on Wall Street, I was telling them, I went to Virginia Union. They're like, what is that? Where is that? Like, I went to Harvard. I went to Yale. I went to Princeton. So that was already a divide. Wow. But what I tell people, because a lot of young girls that I mentor, they always say, like, you're at the White House or you're in boardrooms. How do you? I say, you belong in any room you step in. God doesn't place you there for no reason. Like, you belong in any room you step in. So that's one. Mm-hmm. And everyone has something to offer. Mm-hmm. And I just recently interviewed E.T., the number one motivational speaker, and he said, like, don't go in the room and talk to the biggest person that you see. Talk to the person next to you because everybody has something to offer.
Yeah.
So I just encourage everybody to figure out what your value add is. I mentioned earlier, I knew I was smart because I could pass a test without even going to class back in high school. I had to start going to class in college, right? But I knew that... I always operated with integrity and kindness and try to figure out what the other person's doing and how I can help them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what always set me apart. But yes, I remember when I first got to Wall Street, it was a woman there that was across at a different department, and she was complaining that her parents were giving her $30,000 for her wedding and another $30,000 for her house. Mm. And I never even knew anybody right from the hood that got 60 bands just laying around to give away for the, and she had four siblings. So like their parents had, you know, each sibling gets 60 grand for the two milestones in their life. And I'm like, I don't know if I got 6 grand, let alone 60, right? And so I would ask her more questions. I was more inquisitive, like, how do your parents? Oh, my parents are accountants. They plan, they did 401ks, they did savings. So she was teaching me. So sometimes if you operate from a place that you want to learn what the other person's doing, they're more willing to show you. When you come in more vulnerable and inquisitive, I think that helps break that barrier because it's like, okay, so how did your parents get 60K to give you? Like, what do they do? What's their profession?
Right.
How did they get this money? Like, not so how to get the money, but like, what do your parents do? That's what's more concerned with you.
Yeah, I like that because I never really thought about that because I think that's potentially why I had a hard time, right? Because sometimes we don't want to be vulnerable. So you go in there. And you either, you know, what was it? Was it a fight or flight, right?
Fight or
freeze. And so, you know, you get to a space where you either are going to, you know, push through it or you're going to be like, all right, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to be to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people who are not from money or not from these areas, if you will, you know, because there's no familiarity, they lose out on opportunities because they don't connect with people, they don't get to know people, and they wind up just, you know, freezing and just kind of sticking to who they know. Because that's the other piece that I've seen in corporate America where, all right, so I'm a black guy, so I'm gonna just hang out with all the black people right? And then, you know, and not realize that, you know, by just opening up and being more diverse, you get those connections, and then now you get access to networks that you've probably never had access to. Talk a little bit about that mindset though, right? Like that mindset that you have to be successful in corporate, right? Because I know it's a, it, you know, it's one of those like dog eat dog kind of mm-hmm. environments. I'm a fan of Billions. I love watching the mm-hmm. show Billions, because it gives you like an inside view of a billionaires and mm-hmm. billionaires and what they do. And every time I watch that series, I'm like, yo, this is worse than the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like
I feel like if you can survive in the streets, you can survive anywhere.
1,000. But when you start thinking about how they play at that level, mm-hmm. you know, like, in corporate yeah. America, like we could be cool today, mm-hmm. and then, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody yeah. does something. So like, what type of mindset do you have in order to be successful?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is don't take things personally. Mm. That is a huge thing, because oftentimes people get caught up like, oh, this person did this to me, or take everything personal. At the end of the day, it's a business. Mm. They're about dollars and cents, and yeah. they're just trying to make sure that they're bringing in more than what's going out, right? Yeah. So I tell people, don't take things personally. Operate from a place of wanting to learn, because yeah. people are willing to show you. You have to be the best at what you're doing. So you have to show up on time. Yeah. Like the littlest things that we just take for granted, showing up on time, making sure you're doing an excellent job, not just a good job, an excellent job, because they're already looking for ways to not want us in there, right? Mm. Like they make it uncomfortable for us because we didn't come from the same cloth or the same Ivy League schools or the same, grew up in the same areas. But yeah. Do the best job that's in front of you. Operate with integrity. Show up on time and always be willing to learn. I want to say one thing about going back to school. So in high school, when I said I used to cut class, I barely even showed up. And then when I did, I would sit in the back. Hmm. And I would talk and be distracted. I tell every young person, sit in the front of the class. Yeah. Even in corporate and meetings, when you sit in the front, yes, it's uncomfortable because you're exposed, but it forces you to pay attention. Hmm. And the analogy that I use is when you go to a concert or a basketball game or any paid thing, the front ticket is VIP. Mm. So why not treat education as VIP? Mm. Why not treat your job as VIP? Mm. So sitting in the front, if you go to a meeting, you sit in front, they're like, oh, they're really paying attention to what I have to say. And it forces you, because you're out in front. Mm. Stay after, ask questions to the speaker. Yeah. Like try to build allies and try to find connection points. And one of the things I always say in networking is lead with a compliment mm-hmm. to people when you meet them. Say, oh, I like your shoes, I like your hat, or I like the way you just presented. If they say thank you, then you can ask another question and say, are you from around this area, or what field are you in? Right, ask questions that'll keep the conversation going to learn a little bit more about the other person.
Yeah,
to show that you're interested in them.
Yeah, so yeah, no, I love that. And then so let's talk about this currency that you are the biggest advocate for, right? And so most people, they chase the bag. Mm-hmm. You chase connections, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, why are relationships one of the best kind of currency in the business world?
They are, because they cut through the red tape.
Yeah.
To me, yeah. I have so many people that have way more money than I do that call my phone constantly and ask me for connections or insights or access to things. I don't want to say it's our nepotism, but like mm-hmm.
It's
our emphasis, yeah, right? Like having the access to get things done.
Yeah.
And so my Rolodex in my phone is like vast. And so if someone calls me and needs something, I'm sure there's one person I can call that can get it done, or they know somebody that can get it done.
Yeah.
But relationships are so important. You have to nurture relationships too.
Yeah.
You can't always go in relationships with ask. You have to go in there with providing a service first.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people. Anybody that I call always reaches out to help me, because I've helped them at some form of capacity for free in the past.
Yeah.
But relationships are key to getting things done. That's what I always say. Like it's the key, the glue that to help you get to the next level.
Yeah.
You're one person away from changing your life, or you're one connection away from, you know, changing the trajectory of your life.
That's no, 100%. And you said something that was key, right? Because, you know, in your book, you say that the first rule of networking is to lead with value.
Yes.
You know, how can that mindset generate wealth?
Because one, you're setting yourself apart from, let's say, 90% of people. Every time people meet, most of the time people meet people that are always asking for something.
Yeah.
But when you go and you meet somebody and you providing a service and saying, hey, I always tell people, ask people what their 2025 goals are. What's mm-hmm. your aspirations? What are you working on? And understand what they're working on, and then figure out how you can plug and play into that. Mm-hmm. So I always lead with value. That's the number one networking rule. That's how I've built my relationships from the boardroom to the White House to the inner cities to entertainment, because I've always led with value.
Yeah.
And so when it's time for me to need something, like when me launching my company, like anybody that I've helped, like, Nicole, what do you need? I'll do it. Like, not even think twice about it. Like, how can we help you fast? Like, we can't help you fast enough, right? And I'm grateful for that. But leading with value sets you apart from the rest of the people, because most people lead with an ask.
So, but let me ask you though, right? Because that sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. But when you know, how do you get to that space? Because, you know, people are like to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of times when you lead with value, it almost, you're almost kind of opening yourself up to be used or misused, right? Because we all should be used. Mm-hmm. We just shouldn't be misused, yeah. Right? And so when you lead with value sometimes, it does open yourself up for that, you know, misuse. Mm-hmm. So how do you get there, though? How do you get to that point where, yes, you're leading with value, but you're doing it in such a way that you don't get taken advantage of?
Yeah, it's funny because our mutual friend Yandy always says, use me, but don't misuse me, right? And so, one, I always pray to God for discernment because now that my brand is getting bigger and bigger, I ask God for discernment almost daily to say, like, make sure you're putting me in the right rooms and the right connections so nobody's not misusing me.
Yeah.
But I think you can kind of feel it.
Okay.
I'm just being honest. You can kind of feel it. Like, leave with a service that you that's not going to cost you and make you go broke trying to help somebody, right? But it's like, maybe you do one free service.
Yeah.
Max two, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you say, okay, like, I used to give advice, information away for free all the time. Yeah. Now I have a consultation fee. Mm-hmm. But like, if it's somebody that I feel like I can really help, then maybe I'll say, okay, I won't charge you this time, but the next time this is what this is.
Yeah.
So you can, I'm honest, if you ask for December, you can kind of feel if you're being misused versus leading with that value to start.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important because I just want people to know that, like, you know, leading with value is an abundant mindset, right? Because a lot of people lead with lack, where they're like, what can I get out of this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a testament to that. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years. And that's amazing. One thing is like my relationships. Like, I have big relationships. I have, you know, 9-figure people that I could call and they'll take my call. Mm-hmm. But that isn't because, you know, I never misused that relationship. I make sure I use those relationships the right way. Mm-hmm. But then, like you said, like leading with value and, you know, making sure that I'm not just a taker, right? I'm making them better.
And
you know?
Another thing I would say is do good business.
Yeah, for sure.
That goes so far. So many people don't do good business.
Yeah.
It's like follow up, doing what you say you're gonna do. Again, being on time, being a man or woman of your word. If you say you're gonna do something, make sure that you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So I think doing good business is a huge component. Not just leading with value, but make sure that the business that you're providing is a good service.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my friend Nina, she always says, like, serve your way to service. Mm. I mean, serve your way to success.
Success. Yep. Yep.
Which I think is like, I'm like, you gotta coin that because that's a huge term. You're serving, but it's gonna get you successful because you're giving back and pouring into others. But like I said, don't misuse you.
100%. And so, you know, I think people, you know, underestimate the power of the follow-up, right? You say that the fortune is in the follow-through. How has that played a part in your business journey?
Yeah, and I say that because a lot of times we go to these networking events, we get 4, 5, 10 numbers, and then they just stay in your purse or your pocket, and you don't do anything with them.
Yeah.
I always tell people follow-up within 24 to 48 hours. Mm. And just say, it was a pleasure meeting you at this event. I would love to break the bread, right? Go to coffee with you, go to lunch, go to dinner. I try to do coffee or lunch because dinner might be a little bit too intimate for someone that you don't really know.
Yeah.
But would love to invite you to coffee or lunch just to learn more about what you're working on and talk about what I'm working on. But so many connections get lost in that follow-up.
Yeah.
They don't follow up in the next 24 to 48 hours or like to manage that relationship, to maintain that relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to be guilty of this also. And again, that's where it just comes from, like, you know, adding hood rules, if you will, to, you know what I'm saying, to the corporate world. Because for me, I'd be like, all right, I'm not going to follow up in 24, 48 hours because I don't want to look too thirsty.
Yeah.
Right? But that's hood rules.
I know that's hood rules. That's like if you're dating. It's I don't want to text them the next day.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So hood rules, like, wait, I'm going to wait. But to your point, you know what I'm saying? Like people, you know, especially if it's a connection, that's important. People get busy. You can't expect them to remember you, but you want to make sure that follow up is happening right. soon. So let's talk about the Master Connector Agency.
Yes, the Master Connector.
You know, you've built bridges between corporate America and creative entrepreneurs. Talk a little bit about your secret to speaking to both languages, right? And really, you know, profiting from both, like being able to connect those dots.
So I launched this company because I would go to corporate events and my industry friends weren't in the room.
Mm.
And then I would go to industry events and my corporate executives weren't in the room. So I'm like, we need each other.
Yeah.
Corporations want to be the corporation of choice, but they need people to get the messaging out and that are in the community doing the work, and that's those influencers in the industry. The industry needs corporate executives because we're the ones with the funding and the business acumen that can help you scale and grow your business if you're being attached to our businesses, right? And so God gave me the vision to create In the Room, where the deals are done through the Master Connector Agency, where I bring corporate executives, industry leaders, successful entrepreneurs all in one room to curate and grow your networking, your network. That's what I say. We do a thing called networking bingo, so that it forces you to go around and meet different people. Mm-hmm. But the amount of deals and the amount of connections that I've done in this room and the joy that people get, they're like, oh my God, I wanted to meet this executive at Coca-Cola or Target or TikTok or, you know, from this VP. And then the VPs are like, oh my God, I just met Yandy, I just met Ashley, right? So it's like the joy that the both are seeing and the excitement. And I didn't know that was a thing because I've operated in both spheres.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I'm onto something, because they often operate in silos. Mm-hmm. And they could do so much together and make money together and get businesses together and grow their brands together. So that's what I think was the value of having the room. And for me, operating in both spheres, I think I've never saw titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just how I've always been. I just treat people for who they are and try to treat everybody with kindness. And so I think that's how I'm able to be on Wall Street and just operate and give everybody grace and kindness, and then being in these entertainment rooms too and operating with grace and kindness. I think that's how I show up in both areas.
Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed in my career is that the better quality rooms that you want to get into, you got to pay, right? The Honorable Sean Carter, Jay-Z once said, meet me at the table, the one that starts to G up. That way no fraud willies silly gambling they re-up, right? And what people don't realize, like, that's a cheat code, right? Like, he's literally saying, meet me at the table that starts $1,000 or more in betting.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be at the other table where people are pretending. I want the big willies. I want the people who really in the room, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was a banker for 15 years, and I remember you know, obviously I didn't spend the money, but it was my organization that was spending the money to get me into these galas, and we were buying tables and things of that nature. You know, so we would donate our way to get access to like other wealthy people, right? As I became an entrepreneur, I was, you know, I think I've probably invested over $200,000 in mentorship, right? As an entrepreneur to get into certain rooms, right? You know, I only sit first class. I'm at the Delta Lounge, like all these things that at one point, though, I didn't see the benefit of it. I'd be like, yo, I'm not doing that. But I mean, you have a story of how you've met someone, you know, you've made some good friends and built businesses and, you know, help people through meeting at the lounges. You know, talk about, you know, how to invest in access, right? Like, how can someone with limited money still put themselves in powerful rooms?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I do talk about that in the book, like you putting yourself where you see yourself, right? Like, don't go broke and like losing your house trying to do it, but sometimes pay a little bit extra. Like, even for my events, like a general admission ticket is $150, but VIP, that's where the deals are getting done. Like, you're in a separate space. You're getting meet and greet with the talent. You're getting a meal. You're breaking bread with other people that pay for the VIP ticket. Even I did share in my book two quick stories. I'll just share them really quickly. I had to fly home to Jersey for an emergency, and I booked first class similar to you, where I just, one, it's more comfortable up there.
Right,
but,
for sure.
Yeah, but it's like
you get in first, you get out first, and you don't know who you're sitting next to.
You don't know who you're sitting next to. And I remember flying home, and to Jersey, the flight is usually $200 to $300 from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I paid $1,600 because it was during Christmas and it was during the holidays. And I told my uncle, I'm like, I paid $1,600 for this flight. He was like, you from Newark, like, what are you doing paying $1,600? Like, sit your ghetto behind back and coach. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not ghetto anymore. I've refined, right? And he's like, well, you can meet somebody that wants to join your community and coach. I said, well, I can meet an investor in first class. And that same flight on the way back home, I met a guy that was helping advise me on my business. I was telling him what I was doing. And the other story that I wanted to say was the Delta Lounge, as you mentioned, you do have to pay extra. You have to have a Platinum Amex. To be in the lounges, and I was there doing Essence Fest a couple of years ago, and I saw my friend Jamal that was in the lounge, and he said, come over here, I want you to meet Cynthia Bailey and Egypt. And so I'd seen them on TV, but I didn't know them, and he introduced us. But because they saw me in the lounge in that space, and I was introduced by somebody that already had a connection to them, we built a relationship. And I said, hey, when we get to Atlanta, Let's go to dinner. That's that breaking bed piece, y'all. Mm-hmm. Let's go to dinner when we get back, and I want to understand what you're doing. And because they were in entertainment, I wanted to bring some of my friends that were corporate executives and put them all together in one room, and we had dinner at my friend Yandy's spot, and it was like, they were like, we love this. Can we do it again and again and again? Because we got to learn from each other. But had I not placed myself in the Delta Lounge, or, you know, paid to actually be in Delta Lounges, or paid myself to be in first class, I wouldn't have met those people. Like you said, Jay-Z said, like, pull out the fakes. Who can have $1,000 to be on this crap table, right? Thanks. Like, paying a little bit extra. But it's investing in yourself.
Yeah.
I want y'all to, don't want y'all to miss that. It's investing in yourself. When you pay a little bit extra to be in certain rooms or be in certain spaces, it's investing in yourself, because you never know who you can meet at the, in that space.
No, absolutely. And so, you've said this, you know, that God gave you the vision, you know, for the Master Connectors Agency. And, you know, connection, like, that's a gift that you have, right? How did you know that connections was your gift? And then, what made you decide to, turn that gift into a business?
I love that question, Ash Cash, because someone literally, I'm in like five different Bible studies, y'all. Mm-hmm. And someone literally talked to me about that yesterday, about was a passage in the Bible. I think it was in Jeremiah, where it was saying something about your gift. Like, God, he knew you before you were made.
Right.
And he put your gifts inside of you. And I was telling somebody that my whole life, people have been saying, I need to start a business because I know so many people, or I'm in so many rooms. But it wasn't until God gave me the vision, and I didn't know what my gift was. I just knew that I knew how to connect people. I knew that I knew a lot of people. I knew that I did good business. Those are the three things I knew about myself. And I could connect people with ease. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes it would be a struggle for people, I would do it with like my eyes closed, connect people. And so one day God gave me a vision. This was 6 months ago. He woke me up at 3 o'clock, and I told somebody, I'm like, he always kept talking to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. No other time, God, I'm trying to sleep. But they said that's his hours, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
So he woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, you're going to create a space where you're bringing together your network and your net worth. Your network of people from corporate executives, industry leaders. You're going to call it in the room where the deals are done. And that's how I knew what my gift was. And I want to tell people, this is how you identify your gift. It's anything that you do naturally. Anything that you love doing. So it's things that you do naturally, things that you love doing. And the other piece of it is things that people call you to do. So if I was doing a book, and I'm like, I know Ashcraft has 1,000,000 books, so he does things naturally. I'm like, can you help me figure out how to get this book off the ground, right? Like, you do that naturally. Like, you like writing books. This is what you do. For me, what I did naturally was connect people. I didn't know it was a gift because I didn't have a tangible product. Like, a book is a tangible product.
Yep.
But I knew that people were always calling my phone for connections to things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's how you identify what your gift is. It's something that, again, you do naturally, something that you love doing, and something that people are always calling on you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's how.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's funny, though, because I think that, and I'm sure you could attest to this, like, even when I think about who I am now, and, like, my natural gift, which I would say is business and marketing, because, great with people. But even in corporate America, like, every time if there's a new business that opens, or I probably manage 7-8 branches in my career. And the reason for that was that every time, you know, they put me in a branch, I was so good at marketing, I would build it up and they would take me out and put me in the next branch.
You are a marketting genius.
Right? Let me put you in the next branch and need help. Figure this one out. Then go figure that out. So I've realized that, like, I've always had.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
Add that skill set, right? Even as a kid, I was always that way. And I just translated that into entrepreneurship. Like, I know that you had to have had that gift, right? That connector's gift. How do you acknowledge it, though, right? Meaning, like, it took me a while. Like, for me, I would just let people use my gift, right? It took me a while to say, nah, bro, this is what you should be focusing on. Like, how did you come to that realization that it's actually a gift and not something that, you know, that it just, that you took
right,
took for
granted?
Right,
because it took me, I'm not going to tell y'all my age, but I've been on Washi for over 20 years, and it took me over 20 years, and I just launched my business 6 months ago. So it took me a long time, decades, right, to figure out my gift. But I will give you a story. So a big name person reached out to me and was doing a conference. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, Nicole, he called me. He's like, hey, Nicole. And he's like, world renowned. He's like, Nicole, I'm doing a conference. Can you help me book some female speakers? And at first I'm like, I'm on finance and watching that. Why are they asking me this? But I had a gift where I could get, he trusted me enough to get the right people to be speakers at his conference. And he knew my Rolodex of women were powerful. So I reached out to three women, and of the three, Yandy was one of them. And I tell the story all the time, so you know I'm saying this, but Yandy was one of the three. And so I said, okay, what's your fee? Because the speaker was asking me, what's their fee so that I can get them paid? And then Yandy says, well, what's your fee? And I had to pause, and I said, no, I'm getting you booked to speak at this conference, and this is what, you know, this is what their budget is. Can you work? He's like, yeah. But what's your fee? And I said, I don't have, like, no. And the craziest thing is, out of all three women, I'm the closest with her. So if I was going to charge somebody, it wouldn't be her.
Right.
So, but she's like, what's your fee? And I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, what do you get paid? And I said, oh, no, I'm just connecting, because I always naturally connect. People always call my phone for connections. She said, Nicole, if I get $1 from a connection that you brought me, you get a percentage of that.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, so you're going to pay me. So well, then what do you pay? Like, what do you pay? I had all the questions. Again, very inquisitive. What do you pay? And she's like, well, if you're new, anywhere between 5 to 20%. And I said, okay, can we do 10? And she was like, sure. That's where I knew I had a gift, because I had to stop and realize that someone's reaching out to me to help them book talent for their conference. And then I had the connections. And I'm not a talent agent. I'm not in PR. I'm not a booking agent. But I do good business. And I do have a laundry list of influential people. And so that was the aha moment, like, I can get paid for this? And you know what I mean? So, like, I thank Yandy all the time for just showing me my value in that moment to say, like, these people are getting booked. I should have been getting paid from the person that asked me to book them. And I should have been getting paid from all three of them.
Right.
So that was, like, a learning lesson. But I was like, okay, this is cool. So that's when I realized that I'm onto something, that I can charge for my connection services.
Yeah, 100%. And so, speaking of that, right, you've helped others make millions. You know, what's one belief about money you had to unlearn to reach to your next level?
So I think the one belief that I had to learn about being on Wall Street is that you have to have a lot of money to make a lot of money. You can start with something as small as $5 to $20 and invest it in a brokerage firm, like a brokerage fund, right? And so I think that was the biggest thing I had to unlearn about money. And something else that I didn't have to unlearn, but it was interesting. So we grew up in the hood, and the flashy cars and the fly this and the third. When you work on Wall Street, those people with money are not flashy
at all.
And if you look at Jay-Z, because you referenced him earlier on in his career when he was first starting out, he had gold teeth, gold chains, gold everything. Now that he's a billionaire, he barely wears jewelry.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just interesting. I say we wear our assets on our, you know what, but like the facade of like people showing their assets versus really having their assets.
Sure.
And like being around and being in rooms with multimillionaires, billionaires even, they're not showy. They wear the plainest things, no labels, none of that. You would never even know. So I think that's something that I see. And then also to invest, you don't have to have a lot of money. You could just start with.
I love that, because that's 100% true. Like I remember my first time like seeing millions of dollars in an account, right? Like working at a bank and like seeing millions of dollars and having a vision in my head of what the client would look like, and then they look the total opposite, Like, I remember one guy, you know, he had a T-shirt on, and his jeans, like, was just regular, and I'm like, yo, he got $2 million in a checking account, which you know that if somebody has $2 million in a checking account, they got money somewhere else, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, this dude loaded, because that's his play money.
Right.
But then, and not saying anybody who has the luxurious things, but like then you see the person with the fur coat or the person with all the stuff who's in my office, like, yo, I'm overdrawn. Can I, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So I think for me, you know, it taught me, right, that you really can't look at somebody and say, oh, this person got money or this person doesn't have money. how does that play with connections, right? Because, you know, I'll be honest, like me in this financial world, let's just say, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of us who've generated a lot of money in this space. And there's a lot of us who are flashy, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because from where I'm from, I don't, you know, I'm not flashy at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like the loudest in the room. Like I'm more like low key or whatever. I'm mm-hmm. like I don't know. I'm one of those, like, if you know, type of guys. Like if you know me, then you know me. But if you're not, I'm not gonna, you know, make any noise. But sometimes, right, like people overlook me in a room, right? And I might have more power than, you know, and not no disrespect, but I might have more power than the guy who showed you his Lamborghini. Right. Mm-hmm. But because he's online showing you the Lamborghini, mm-hmm. I'm in a room, everybody's flocking and you know, they treating me like he's nobody. It's just, mm-hmm. it's cool because I'm cool. But like, how do you you know, as you're teaching people to connect, like what is like what is that? How do you discern like who's worth, because you can't talk to everybody.
You can't talk to everybody. Yeah.
So how do you discern like who do I talk to and who do I not talk to?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think for me, I know you don't talk to everybody, but talk to at least five people.
Yeah.
If you're in a room, talk to at least five people. That way you can kind of gauge it. And ET said it best, don't go after the biggest person in the room.
Yeah.
Go after the person next to you. Like the job that I got on Wall Street came from one of my classmates. Mm. Like he got the opportunity and reached back out and got me the opportunity. So I think you should talk to everybody in the room. And I always tell people like, the cheat code is the executive assistants.
Right, facts.
Like they that's people the cheat overlook code them for all day long. Like they'll be like the celebrity here, or the executive here, and they'll like push past the assistant. The assistant's gonna get you on that calendar.
Facts.
The assistant knows where the balls are buried.
Facts.
So I always tell people like treat everybody with integrity and treat everybody with serve. Like you try to serve everybody versus going after the flashiest person. Because again, those executive assistants or those people that are closest to them, the PR, the bookings, those are the ones that have the access that can get you on the calendar. And people overlook them all the time.
Yeah.
So I try to like diversify and speak to at least five people in the room and then weigh like, what do I want to take the relationship from there, right? Are they worth meeting? Did I enjoy the conversation? Can I add value to them? What are they working on? So I just think it's more of diversifying who you're speaking to, not just the one person.
And then how do you know, like, how far to take a connection, right? So, for example, you know, you meet somebody, y'all connect, and then, all right, bet, y'all have a lunch or y'all have, you know, and... You know, I how do you decipher to say, all right, this is somebody I want to continue to build with, or you know what, I'm gonna take a step back. Like what is that? What is the connection etiquette, if you will?
Yeah,
you
know? No, that's an amazing question actually, because I ask God for discernment all the time, and the bigger your platform, you do have to have those antennas up, right, to make sure that people aren't taking advantage of you or just using you to get to the next level versus really wanting to help. So I ask for discernment. I'm big on how I feel, because most people are opposite of me. And what I mean by that is, like my husband, I'll give him for example, he's not letting people in his orbit. Mm-hmm. He's just not. You've met him. He's just quiet to himself. Yeah. And he's just, and we're from Jersey, so most people don't let people in. I let everybody in. Then when you start showing me who you are or is not aligning or I don't feel like something's off, then I kind of like slowly let that relationship die down. Yeah. But most people are like slow to let people in and you know, slow to let them leave. And I'm like quick to let them in and quick to let them leave.
Yeah.
But I do have, now I have a team of advisors around me because they can see my blind spots sometimes that I may not see.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's that your gut tells you everything, y'all. Yeah. Like that's what I'm big on. Like ask God for discernment, but your gut tells you everything. If you're meeting with somebody and it doesn't feel right, Give it grace, maybe one more time. But after that, if it's not worth your time or energy, effort, because we can't get time back.
Yeah.
Then you just have to politely say, you know, this relationship isn't working. But say it in a nice way. It's not what you say; it's how you say it.
For sure.
But for me, I'm big on how people make me feel.
Yeah.
What is this a value add for both of us?
At
the end of the day, like you lead with value, but don't be taken advantage of. Like, is it a value add for both of you? And how can we help each other get to the next level?
Yeah.
But it has to feel right.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that you said that, because I think that's the gem. That's the missing ingredient. Is this? Is it mutually beneficial?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that some people may miss that, right? And sometimes mutually beneficial doesn't mean you get money, I get money. Sometimes it's the relationship, right? Sometimes it's, all right, I'm going to leave with this value because I've done my homework. This person, you know, seems like a upstanding person. If I do this for them, mm-hmm. they may open other doors for me. So I'm playing a long game, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've done that many times where I've played the long game where, you know, I've led with value. I've given. And now to the point where I've given so much where when there's an opportunity, I'm the person they think about. They're like, oh, nah, I got somebody for you. You know what I'm saying? Has there been... And you don't have to give specifics, but has there been situations where you've gotten burnt though, right? Where you've helped people out and then they, you got ished on.
Right. So even launching this company as recent as 6 months ago, like when I was telling people about it, like I had some people that wanted to help and be a part of it.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of people in the first 90 days, which was like hard for me because I'm like, no, I love people. I want to help. Yeah. But if their vision isn't aligning with my vision for my business, right? Like this is my baby. Like they can't stay on board. Mm-hmm. And so like I had to literally get rid of like three people and I had to say like where this company is going, like is not aligning or you're not pulling your weight because it's a lot of work as I'm a startup, right? Absolutely. It's a lot of work in the beginning. So if people aren't putting in the same amount of work or things that you ask them to do, then you have to make those quick decisions to say like, you can't continue on, you know, with me, which is unfortunate, but you got to make those hard decisions.
Yeah.
And so, I noticed early on, like people on my team just weren't pulling their weight, I should say.
Yeah.
It was like at least three people in 90 days. So.
Yeah. And then when you look at like adversity, so whether it's people on the team, whether it's, you know, a deal that, you know, you made an introduction and they didn't, live up to who they say they were, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, what lessons have you learned through adversity?
So for me, I love adversity because it makes you stronger. Yeah. I feel like everything that you go through makes you who you are today. And I tell people it's only going to get better, right? Mm-hmm. I have gotten people, like you said, millions of dollars and they barely even said thank you. Mm. And so for me, it's like, okay, God, like, are you letting me get them these 9-figure checks or whatever, and they don't even say thank you, then I just take those same talents and focus on somebody that does say thank you.
Yeah.
So that's all I do. Like, I take it as a learning lesson. Like, you can't take it back. So it's like, okay, I helped you get to where you are with this. You don't even have to say thank you or anything. And, like, I'll just take those same focus and focus on – I always say focus on the people that focus on you. Support who supports you.
Yeah.
Even now, as my business, like, I'm – not true to my own, but I'm a really good friend. And my friends have something I support and I show up for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had to start looking and say, well, I've had 3 or 4 events. Have you shown up to any of my events?
Yeah.
So it was like, I look at that now, like who is supporting me? Who is showing up for me? Cause I've been showing up for so many people for so, so long.
Yeah. No, I love that. Talk a little bit about legacy, right? You know, what's the legacy you want to leave? Not in just business, but in how people connect and thrive.
The legacy I want to leave, because it's funny, because somebody on my team, Kim, was like, everybody write out your obituary. I was like, this sounds like morbid. Nobody wants to do that, but to say, like, what's the legacy that you want to leave? Yeah. And for me, is to say that I've helped make the world a better place than when I came into it. If 5 to 20 to 20,000 people could say, Nicole has helped me at any form of fashion, whether that's telling you belong in a room, because so many young girls are like, I'm getting so nervous to go somewhere and I don't know if I belong because I don't have this big degree. This, you belong in any room you go in. Yeah. So like just give them that confidence and help them realize their value. And everybody has something to add. No matter who you are, you have something to add. So make sure you unlock that value so that you can give your gift to the world that God gave you.
Yeah.
But the legacy I want to live is that I've helped make people's lives a better place. Like like Michael Jackson, make the world a better place.
No, I love it. Through connections.
Through connection. Yeah. I wanted to share the ET story because I think there's a valuable gem. And you asked me, I think, a question earlier around it, but Eric Thomas and I, we met years ago. Mm-hmm. This had to be 2015, I want to say, right? So almost 10 years ago. And he was speaking at a Forbes event in New York. And my coworker at the time, I didn't know who E.T. was. Mm-hmm. I know he's a big deal, but I didn't know who he was. And my coworker at the time was like, oh, E.T. speaking. Tell him I said hi. We went to school together. I was like, I don't know that man. Yeah. And he don't know me. I'm not going to tell him you said hi. Mm-hmm. And so when I get there, they wind up doing a meet and greet for executives. So I was in, like you said, how the executives pay for us to be in those rooms, right? Mm-hmm. So do the meet and greet. And I say to E.T., I said, hey, Larry says hi to you. And he's like, oh, my God, that's my man. Blah, 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 going on the things. I was like, okay, I'll tell him he said hi. Like going about my business, right? Fast forward, a mutual friend was doing a event here, similar to In the Room, where she was mixing entrepreneurs and corporate executives in the room. And I was a corporate executive and he was an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at each other like, where do we know each other from? We couldn't figure it out. And then I was like, oh my God, the Forbes event. And mm-hmm. then I was like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a motivational speaker. And he asked me what I did. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want to build legacy for mm-hmm. my family. Mm-hmm. And so I put him in a program that we had at the company where we help the people build legacy for their family, like mm-hmm. how to invest their money and how to grow their businesses. And I did it for free. I didn't mm-hmm. know him like that. He didn't know me like that. And I was on calls with him and his kids. Mm-hmm. Every 2 weeks, we're on calls and wow. just figuring out business planning. Yeah, estate planning for free. Like, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to help him. Like, I said, what are you working on? He said, yeah. I want to leave a legacy for my family. Yeah. Fast forward, I just helped him with other things, other things he had going on. Like, I would just reach out to him, check on him, go to his daughter's birthday party, right? Never asked him for a favor. This man quadrupled my salary, right? Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to help. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to me doing my event. I said, oh, I have an event. Would you mind speaking? He said, tell me when and where. Mm. So that was the power of relationships that yeah. over 10 years yeah. that... Like, I met him randomly, and then I nurtured our relationship and helped and led with value yeah. that 10 years later, he's like, just show me where to show up.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
only did he show up, he purchased, I have memberships for people that want to have access to me and get business acumen and building a community together. And he purchased 20 tickets for people to be a part of my membership.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's he showed powerful. Up and showed a seat.
And I definitely want to talk about, you know, your program. But I want to go back to something that you said. And you said it multiple times where it's like, have confidence, you know, you are who you are. You have value when you walk into a room. Can everybody do that though? Can everybody be Nicole? Can everybody see somebody in a room and does that take practice? Is that just who you naturally are? Like you know what I'm saying? Because like yeah. I know introverts who walk into a room and they like, yeah. nah, I'm gonna stay in that corner. I'm at least here. I'm gonna like how do you get that level of like, no, right, I you know what, I'm
so,
gonna do it.
So I do think that's one of the gifts that like, I don't see titles. So I'll talk to anybody, yeah. whether you're the CEO or the janitor, like I've been that way. And I'll be telling people, like even at my office, the security has the most information. Absolutely. Like they tell me what's going on. Like same yeah. thing with the admins, right? So, but I tell everybody, if you, it starts from within.
Yeah.
You, but one, believing that you belong in that room
yeah.
and knowing you have value to add.
How do you get there though? How do you get there? Right, because, cause again, I'm like I gotta play devil's advocate because yeah. where we from, like I'll say even specifically for me, like I was being told I'd be dead or in jail by 21. Ooh. All like there was nobody affirmed nothing. I'm talking about from the time I was born till maybe about, I want to say about 19 years old, to be honest with you. Probably one or two people, but for the majority of people in my life, affirm nothing, right? And so that's why I was so rebellious. I got in trouble because I was like, F it. Like, I'm going right, like F the world. Like, y'all think I'm going to be dead or in jail, so that's what I'm going to do anyway. Like, I'm going to go crazy. It wasn't until I got my first job that I start realizing, like, yo, I got this skill. Like, I had to figure it out for myself, right? And so there are people in this world who've yeah. never been affirmed, who have, like, the pretty girl who gets taken advantage of is because, you know, people weren't telling her she was pretty, mm-hmm. right? The guy who has the talent, there's a lot of people in this world who are beat down, right? Like, how do you get to that level? Like, how do you yeah. get to that confidence?
It does start from within, and I'm here to tell you, you matter,
yes.
you add value.
Yes.
You are valuable and you have a gift. God created every person with a gift inside of them, right? Yeah. It's up to you to unlock that gift. And again, it goes back to those, what do you do naturally? What do people call you for?
Yeah.
But then I give tips for people that are shy. Like you said, the introvert is going to want to stand in the room, mm-hmm. but force yourself to meet three people and you lead with a compliment. Yeah. That breaks the barriers for everybody. Everybody loves a compliment.
Yeah.
I don't know, not one person that doesn't love a compliment. And yeah. I could be having the worst dance. I'm like, oh, I like your hair. I'm like, oh, you do?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you lead with that compliment to bring people's guards down. And then you ask those two simple questions. Are you from around this area? Because yeah. people love to tell you where they're from and what they got going on. What field are you in? Those are two generic questions outside of the compliment that you can ask to keep the conversation going. The third one you always want to ask is, when they say, which field are you in? What are you working on this year? Like, what's your 2025 vision? What's yeah. your goals? Because then they'll start talking about themselves.
Yeah.
And as you're listening, you figure out how to plug and play. The confidence is hard because, like you said, coming from the inner city, we're not told all these wonderful things about right. ourselves because we're trying to survive.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're just trying to survive. But knowing that you're beautifully and wonderfully made by the creator,
yeah,
and you have a gift to offer and value to add, like that starts from within. But we're, Ash and I are here to tell you,
that's
you
it.
Add value and you matter,
that's
and go
it.
Into that room with confidence and operating on the gift that you have.
Yeah,
so.
No, I love that. And one of the things which you know, I want you to talk about, you know, your program, because one of the things that helped me with my confidence was Toastmasters, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, I was the worst with articulation. I'm from New York, so it was a lot of nine means that was coming out.
Right.
A lot of B's, you know what I'm saying? But I went to Toastmasters, and Toastmasters, number one, kind of taught me how to speak on the cuff. Mm-hmm. It taught me how to actually even connect within a group setting. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's why I will always be part of a mastermind. I will always be part of a group of people that are like-minded, that want to, you know, that have knowledge that can help me. And so you started a program where you're helping people. First and foremost, you're allowing people to connect with each other, but you're teaching them, you know, everything that's in this book, but then even, you know, the cheat codes of connections. Talk a little bit about your program.
Yeah, thank you. So the program is, we're called the Connectors, y'all. So if you're part of the Connectors, it's over 20 of us in there. And I built the program because when I would do these in-person events, people were like, we want to learn more for you, Nicole. When's the next event? And I only do 2 in-person events a year. So it's a Master Connector community. It's $99 a month. We meet twice a month. So the first of the month we meet, I bring in experts that are experts in the field talking about trademarking, marketing, compliance, the 5 keys areas of business, like everything you need to know to have a successful business. And these people are in my Rolodex. They come on and give us different tips and tricks on how to make a business run successfully. And also, we are a community. I feel like we need each other more than ever now. So a person in there is an author. We buy their books. A person in there has classes. We show up for their classes. So we support each other. Somebody the other day was asking about somebody to build an app. Then somebody in there was like, oh, I got $20,000 budget to do the app. So, like, we're cross-pollinating and helping each other grow our businesses. So we support each other's businesses. We put functions in there, like different events that are happening around the city. Yeah. One of my members owns a podcast studio, so we'll film in her studio. So we kind of like keeping that black dollar circulating in our own
awesome.
Community. But what I love about it is that we're learning together.
Yeah.
So I'm a new business owner. So I'm learning how to market my business. Yeah. I'm learning how to make sure I have, like, I had, when I first started, I had to use my own personal address. They're like, no, you need a web address,
right?
Like
right,
the little things, the little tips and tricks that I'm learning as just being a part of my own community. But I do love it because it's a cohort. And like you said, being a part of something and communicating, and we communicate on a daily basis. So we're using a thing called Slack.
Yep.
Where people put their events in there. They put up their upcoming products that they're marketing, and we'll buy them. So we support each other.
Nice. I love that. And like, I'll say this, that I've made my most amount of money being around like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know for me, you know, the African proverb said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I know for me, you know, I've always been, all right, I'm going to figure it out. But why try to figure something out that has already been figured out? Right. All I got to do is add my sauce to it. And so being in groups, being in masterminds have helped me. Mm-hmm. And so make sure y'all tap in, y'all learn about the connectors, because at the end of the day, I mean, for me, why wouldn't you want to, if you own a business, why wouldn't you want to be in a room with somebody who has helped other brands secure millions of dollars? Why wouldn't you want to be in a room with other, you know, like-minded people? Why wouldn't you be in a room with a person who is the queen of connections, who could bring in other connections that could potentially help you? So make sure y'all tap in.
And I wanted to say something else about when you said about, like, the introverts, or how do we get, like, that confidence, right?
Yeah.
So I don't love public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say that all the time. I led with that. And I used to say I hate it. Now I say I don't love it. Mm-hmm. But once I started operating in my gift, like, God has pushed me on these platforms. Like, I'm on Ash Crash's podcast. I'm going on a TV show next week. LA Tribune just wrote about me. Like, I'm being thrust into public speak. And you wouldn't know about my business if I don't talk about it, right? But I was very uncomfortable with it because I'm from up top and we speak fast. So
yeah.
I speak very fast. But when you operate in uncomfortability and you push yourself, the doors fly open.
Yeah.
operating in your gift and operating when you're uncomfortable, the doors fly. That's something that I do know. Like, I'm a testament to that.
Yeah.
Once, like, for my business to be 6 months old and to have three sold out events with major people coming, executives, big names, and being on TV and radio, like, in 6 months, because I'm operating in my gift, which is the connections, and also getting out of my comfort zone, which is the being behind the scenes and not public speaking.
And one thing I don't want y'all to miss is that it's called a gift because it is not yours. And people don't realize. So when you operate in your gift, all you're doing is being obedient to what God gave you, right? Because, you know, one of my mentors, Myron Golden, says, God loves the people that I serve. And so if God loves the people that I serve and God has given me this gift, I can't hold on to this gift like it's mine. I'm just a delivery man.
Wow.
Right?
I like
I'm Amazon. I'm an Amazon driver. And so I have this package. It's not my package. Even though I'm the person that's supposed to deliver it, it's not my package. It's your package, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you know, when you operate in your gift, when you're giving the gift to the rightful person that the gift is for, absolutely doors will open up.
Fly open. They said that as we're adding, God is multiplying.
1,000%.
Yeah. So 1,000%, as you're adding to yourself, God is multiplying it. Like, his vision is way bigger than what we think.
Yeah. What advice would you give to someone listening right now who feels like they're one connection away from changing their life?
So the advice I would give, one, join the Master Connector community, because we're going to get you there. We're going to get you connected. That's one thing. But I tell you to operate outside of your comfort zone, right? Step out your comfort zone. Go to different events. Say you are, you want to work at Google. If you go on their website, they list their events. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just go to the events. Go to the next event that they're having and talk to five people. Mm. Register for the event. Talk to five people. Pay what it is you need to pay. Sometimes it might be free, right? But push yourself to talk to five people and lead with those things I told you. Lead with a compliment. And then ask them, you know, what field are they in? Are they from around this area? What are their 2025 goals? And figure out how you can add your gifts into them to serve them, right? Yeah. And so I just encourage you to get outside your comfort zone, lead with those compliments, meet as many people as you can, treat everybody with the same level of respect. Don't just go to the biggest person in the room. Talk to every single person, even on your way into the event, who's working the front door.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So that's what I would tell people.
Take me to the next 5 years. Where do you see the Master Connector Agency? Where do you see, how big is your group? Like take me to that. Take me 5 years from now, 2030.
I have never thought about this, Ashley. This is like on the cuff, off the cuff, right? And now we got it taped. So you're going to hold me accountable, right? Because I'm saying it. So the next 5 years, I want the Master Connector Agency to be a household name.
Mm.
I want people to know this organization.
Wait, we're going to stop. We affirming everything. So we're not even going to use the word I want.
It will
the Master
be.
Connector Agency will be.
Now, the Master Connector Agency will be a household name.
Yeah.
We will have changed lives of millions. Yeah. We will have connected them to the right person to help them grow their network and their net worth.
Yeah.
We will have given people the security to know that they belong in any room that they go in.
Yeah.
We will have served many. I want to open a foundation with this. I want to give back to my community, because I've always, that's one thing that's Nicole's trajectory. I've always served.
Yeah.
No matter what I'm doing, I'm always serving. So 5 years from now, the Master Connector Agency will be a household name. It will be a multi-million dollar company. And we will be serving our community with a nonprofit.
Love that. The Master Connector, y'all. So listen, so the book, I gotta plug that, and thank you, right, for trusting, me and the brand. Because, we were having a conversation, and we were talking about, the event. I'm a book guy. Like, I've written 19 books right now. I've sold a lot of books, 6 bestsellers. And I was like, yo, you need a book.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And I was your book coach and was able to help push you get it done in, 30 days, less than 30 days.
Less than 30 days.
Yeah.
So first of all, I told Ash, because he is a book guy, and I knew Ash was dope, and I didn't know his full capabilities and all his talents. And he's like, I do books. And I'm like, well, good. So in 2025, I want to get my story out there. Like, I mean, 2026.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do it next year. So I called Ash. I think it was like January, February. And my event was in March, March 14th to be exact. And I said, I want to do a book, but let's talk to me next year. He was like, well, you got ET coming, New York Times bestseller. You got a major brand sponsor in this. Like, we need to do it in 30 days. And I was like, no, I want to work on a book for next year. He's like, Nicole, trust me, I can get this done and we can get this done together in 30 days. Like, you just let me know, lock yourself in a room for a couple of days. Like, we're going to get it done. And I was like, are you sure? Yeah. And next thing you know, within less than 30 days, everything that was in my mind that I wanted to put in this book, we got it done and got it published on Amazon. Yeah. So thank you for operating in your gift,
for
stepping out of your comfort zone and not staying to the same inner city person. Don't talk to people, have us like, you became who you are because you're operating in your gift, and your gift is creating books, And so in record time, right? Yeah. Like, less than
30
days.
And it's really good, though, too.
It's
so
really
like,
good, yeah. I was reading it. I just took a flight, and I was reading it. I was like, this is good. Like, I would buy this book again and again because I give you true gems and connections on how to get you to the next level. Whether even something as simple as networking on Instagram or versus networking on LinkedIn, how to break bread, how to meet people, how I got from the inner city of New Jersey all the way to Wall Street as an equity trader. Like, I'm telling you, it's all in that book.
Yeah. So, so y'all got to tap in. Like, so the book is available wherever books are sold. Make sure y'all tap in to Master Connected. This is like literally the blueprint. So if you're a business and you want to learn, you want to see what she knows, get the book. After you get the book, though, you got to tap in and become a connector. If people wanted to like connect with you, where can they find you?
My Instagram is the Master Connector. So the T-H-E, Master _ Connector. And then my website is masterconnector.com, masterconnectoragency.com, sorry, the masterconnectoragency.com. You can purchase the book there. You can purchase it on Amazon, but you can join my membership community at the masterconnectoragency.com.
All right, y'all, the masterconnectoragency.com. Again, make sure y'all buy the book. Make sure y'all join the connectors. Yeah. Make sure you just tap in. She's a wealth of resources. Like, she could definitely point you in the right direction. Next event she has, make sure you tap in. You're in the building.
You
because you never know who you're going to meet when you're in the room.
I love that. Thank
All right, y'all. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure y'all visit us, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash. I'll see you next time. Same time. Same place, in God's will.
Thank
Peace.
You.